You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas.
Final hour of The Press Box. Yes, Ed Graney on his way out. Got to go cover the Las Vegas Raiders. I think there's something going on with the Raiders. A little something to write about here. Media availability has moved up.
They might have been in the news once or twice.
Yeah. Devontae Adams, of course, the story of the day. And I feel like since Ed's off to cover the Raiders, it's probably a pretty good spot to reset for our audience. And there's a lot of different ways to look at what has transpired so far for the Raiders to get to this point. And this point is that Devontae Adams has requested a trade. And it seems that the requests are being accelerated a bit in terms of the desire to get out. Deanna Rossini earlier today has a tweet and a report that stresses that Devontae Adams wants out ASAP, as soon as possible. The report exactly, the Jets and Cowboys, among many teams monitoring the Devontae Adams situation, both have checked in with the Raiders. I'm told at this point, Vegas, no rush, make a move, but Adams wants out as soon as possible. Also notes that money's a big factor. Looking to trade for Adams, well, it's a $13.5 million for the rest of the season. That drops by nearly $1 million every single week. And it's why teams like the Chiefs aren't and can't go in. And the last note on this from Rossini, many teams checking in to see what the Raiders are looking for in return and how much negotiating is possible. And then a weird contrived part of this report, which she says, I spoke to one team decision maker who called, checked, mentioned, already moved on, was the quote from said decision maker. So I wanted to start here because I don't think we really asked the question today. I think there's two different ways to look at this. The first of which is, Danny, I ask you, does Devontae Adams deserve to be upset with the situation and in a position to request a trade?
Yes.
Why?
Because originally when he came out here, it was to play with his college friend and former Raider quarterback in Derek Carr. Obviously, that situation didn't pan out like Adams wanted. Carr is no longer here. Last year, Adams had to deal with three quarterbacks that played, and then now this year they have Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. Things, I think they're going about as well as we all thought. Like, a lot of people thought they were going to be 2-2 after four games this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a potential for 3-1 depending on how week one went, but no one saw them really going 0-4 or 4-0. But he came here with the purpose of playing with Derek Carr, who he played with at Fresno State. Derek Carr got shipped out by the old regime, and now he's unhappy with how things are going at quarterback.
I think I understand it to an extent. I also kind of understand if you are somebody in the building or maybe a fan of the team with some frustration as to what is going on here. Because you could say he came here to play with Derek Carr. But then you go back and you read some of the quotes and what he said when he was introduced, and maybe you're just going to say, like, hey, look, you're going to say these sort of things. But remember, he mentioned that he, you know, grew up a Raiders fan, quote, all Raiders, anything Raiders was what I was about, talking about how happy he was to be here, part of the organization, looking forward to, quote, coming in and trying to leave my footprint as well as I can, end quote. Like, you kind of knew what you were getting into.
Right.
It's not like this Raiders franchise was, it's like they're not starkly run differently now than they were when you got here.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to this point after an offseason in which it seemed that you were one of the players who pushed for the regime in place. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, all we heard during the offseason was players like Antonio Pierce. He's a player's guy, and with the cigars and the hoop and the cornhole and the pool table and all those things, they seem to be trying to put as much fun in that locker room as possible. But at the end of the day, Devontae Adams was one of the guys who was pushing for Pierce to get that head coach job.
So there's that aspect of it. And again, look, it's every guy's prerogative to, if he wants to get out, he wants to get out, whatever. I don't really, again, don't understand what your shock is considering the history of this franchise and what's been going on in the years leading up to before you got here and afterward, but fine. You've requested the trade. The other side of this is the Raiders themselves. And I do think that there is some criticism to be thrown toward the Las Vegas Raiders with the way that this thing was handled. Going back to the point of, look, the reason why, one of the reasons why you went and got Devontae Adams, one of them was he's a great wide receiver. The other was, I'm going to assume, the connection between him and Carr at that point, who was on the roster. But we all saw the writing on the wall. We knew the contract was constructed, that there's a pretty good shot that they're going to get out from underneath this guy in a year. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. You haven't put the best situation in place overall to quell those worries that he might have coming into this year, which was, hey, look, like, how are we going to address the quarterback situation? We're just going to go get Gardner Minshew, and then we're going to roll with Aiden O'Connell. You deserve some criticism for putting together something. I don't even know what you put together here this offseason
right.
that made you think any concerns Davante Adams had, which, by the way, we heard about a little bit last year, were going to be much better this season.
No, they didn't do anything. And this is going, if he were to stay here, if he didn't say, hey, I'd like to be traded or I'd prefer to be traded, whatever the word he used was, he's looking at this same exact situation next season.
Mm-hmm.
So he...
albeit maybe with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and do you take that chance? Because with the way that things are going, as we've mentioned multiple times, they're going to be looking in that 13, maybe 17 range for draft picks.
I mean, maybe, if they're good.
And you're looking
by their standards.
You're looking at what, third, fourth best quarterback in the draft next year?
I mean, we're assuming that they do what they did last year.
Right.
Which is an assumption, because I think you can make the argument there, again, their first two wins, I think you can point to a lot of red flags that led to your victories, but still, it's a team that notoriously is floating around 500, to your point.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same situation next year. You could have a rookie quarterback, you could not, or you could have one on your team and they still choose to go with a Minshew or an Aiden O'Connell mm-hmm. and let the rookie sit.
Which goes back to, if you trade, and it seems like this is going to be the case whenever it happens, you said what, before next week?
I say before week six kicks off.
Okay. So before week six kicks off, Davante Adams is on a new team, according to Danny Smythe. So write that down. He's going to be
wrong.
Yep,
I got it.
If they trade him, I guess it depends on what you get back. But is this finally the wake-up call for the franchise? Is this finally going to be the wake-up call where it is, we have to really evaluate how we are doing things around here, both from a player personnel standpoint, not even just roster construction, but how you're handling things internally, right? Because your head coach is consistently stepping in it at this point right now. There's a lot of, as Adam Hill put it yesterday, a lot of unforced errors, okay? There's that aspect of it. But in terms of building a winner, we'll put in air quotes, is it time to really evaluate what you're doing and to stop spinning your wheels every single year and buy into fully rebuilding this thing? Is this the sign that you need to really logically think about taking those steps?
I think it would be very hard for all three at the top, Davis, Telesco, and Pierce, to sit there and say, you know what, we're approaching that territory and we think it's time to rebuild from the ground up and we're looking to play for 2027. I know it seems far out, but go ahead and throw this season away. You only got two more seasons before that time, and at that point you should be set to at least to make a playoff run.
I don't think it has to be that long, though.
Do you think they can do it in 2 years?
So if you go back to, again, and we're talking about, this is always my shining example of it, right? You go back to, I think it was 2019 or so, right? The beginning of Flores' tenure in Miami, where they were tanking. They were bad. This is, oh my God, this is going to be the worst team we've ever seen. 2019, they go 5-11. The next year, they're 10-6, and they have had winning records ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're what, 9-8, 9-8, 11-6 last year. We see what's happening this year. A lot of it has to do, obviously, with the injury to your quarterback. But heading into this year, there were many. I was one of them. That thought this would be a division-winning team,
yeah,
a top seed in the AFC, and a team that could compete for the conference and, by extension, the Super Bowl. That is what was thought of the Dolphins heading into this year. That was after 2 to 3 mundane seasons for the Dolphins, where they really turned things around. And you could talk about the business aspect of it, which is, well, if you start losing games, then you turn away, like, you know, the product isn't great, and then you turn away. Sorry, you're already, the way you're running things over at Allegiant, like, that's not a normal fan base that goes out there.
No, and that's why we always hear, oh, the away team's fan base took correct. Over Allegiant Stadium.
Right. Like, that is a, as Steve always puts it, Cofield on ESPN, on Cofield and Company, the wine and cheese crowd, right? Like, that is people who can handle these exorbitant prices, who are coming out for the experience of Las Vegas and the NFL as well, checking out Allegiant Stadium. So I don't really buy that in terms of fan support. You have a very supportive fan base that is always going to be there. But I would argue, in terms of support, business model, on top of trying to build a winning product, taking it on the chin this year and getting as much back as you can for a lot of people, for all the pieces on your roster. And again, not per, you know, because when we talk about tanking too, that's the misconception. Players don't go out there and try to lose games on purpose. You're just talking about stripping it down to the studs. And then, look, by the way, the Texans did that. Yeah. The Texans did it, and they turned it around really quickly.
Very fast.
Yes. So it's not like this, like, six-year process that people keep making it out to be. The Texans are a great example of turning things around really quickly if you're taking your steps in the right direction. So now, if you take these proper steps, I'd argue, in terms of support, business, all that kind of stuff, you know what drums up support? I was so excited for the first time in a while as a sports fan for the Colts this year. Why?
Anthony Richardson?
Correct. Hope. Who knows if Anthony Richardson's going to be good? These first four games have been crazy, right?
Yeah.
He's been all over the place. You've seen great, you've seen bad, but it's excitement.
Right.
And I am keeping up with the team more from a fan perspective. I am doing things more. I'm engaging more with the team from a fan perspective because of my excitement about what Anthony Richardson can be. So I think you kind of throw out this whole mentality of like, no, we've always got to try. You are trying. But going after the young franchise quarterback that is going to give your team a shot every single year if you get it right and building consistently in that way instead of spinning your wheels, going after veterans. Again, I will invoke my team. Look what the Colts tried to do after Andrew Luck retired. Look what happened. It was a just cavalcade of veteran quarterbacks that didn't really get it done. Cool, Phil Rivers made it to the playoffs. Carson Wentz got into the last year of the regular season. Matt Ryan was abysmal. Jacoby Brissett was okay. But there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Gardner Minshew came in last year, helped the team, but at least, again, they had the young cornerstone that was already hurt, and we already know how that happened. So I feel like, again, this should be a big moment for the Raiders.
Yes, should be.
And it should change your mentality as a team and how you're going to handle constructing a winner moving forward.
It should be. I won't believe that the top three would, and not to say that being okay is a weird way to put it, but like along those lines of, we're planning for the future, so it's kind of okay to lose now so that we can get that piece at the top of the draft pick one of these years. But they're going to have to listen to their fan base boo and be mad at them for the next 18 months to 24 months.
I don't even think you'd be like, but what's a better product? So, like, for example, if you're, again, so like you're watching, because they're just a good example of this, but like for the Colts, for example, right? They're pretty bad on offense in their win over the Bears, okay? Looked pretty poor. But when you watch and you see that we have a young quarterback that's kind of working through things and trying to develop, you understand what's happening.
Right.
So I don't think there's going to be boos or anything like that. I think you're going to understand what's going on. And again, it gives you a hope that there's going to be something to develop here. And I just don't understand how you would look at this roster, especially if Adams is going to go. And again, it doesn't seem – by the way, we should know, you had this. Was there a report that the ask back from the Jets was what?
Oh, no.
No?
That was a fan speaking nonsense.
Okay, all right. There we go. So you can't – I blame you. You can't do that to me. So regardless, what they're asking for back will tell us a story.
Yes.
Because if you're asking for a second-round pick and a player of note or anything like that to just kind of keep this machine chugging along, then I think that's going to give us an answer as to what the Raiders are going to do with the direction they take. But I think you should view this as a pretty serious crossroads with what you're going to do if you're the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think it should be a wake-up call for what you're going to do as a franchise moving forward. Reaction on the text line, because I think that this should be a wake-up sign for the Las Vegas Raiders to rethink what they've been doing. Stop spinning the wheels. Go all in. Start the full rebuild. Let's go. And it's better for you, the fan. If you are out there saying, no, it's better for you. It is better for you in the long run because going for the full rebuild, imagine if they hit it out of the park. Imagine if they get Shedeur Sanders. Imagine if he's awesome. Imagine if you're actually competing with a team year in and year out and you have a future. Imagine if you're the next Kansas City. Think about that. It's what you could be. So I'm making the case that this should be the wake-up call, the Devontae Adams trade request. This should be it. It's a sign. Stop spinning the wheels. Blow it up. Get your assets and get this thing in rebuild. 702-364-1100. Text us. Text in. I want your thoughts. Do you want to go for the full rebuild or do you want to continue to spin the wheels, try to maximize on what you have? Somebody has a great idea.
Yes. So Jimmy on the text line.
Jimmy!
So this is going to be word for word, and then we'll break it down. Get a second for Adams. Pick up the $7 million for Minshew, trade him to the Dolphins with a third to get a first back, which I'm not sure.
You said we
you'll
break
get
it
that.
Down later. Come on.
I know. Then take your 2 1s and 2 2s next year, trade back because it's a weak quarterback draft, load up for the 26 draft because it's a deep quarterback draft.
I like what you're thinking. Now, as Danny said, I don't think you're getting a first-round pick for Gardner Minshew.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to get a third-round pick for Gardner Minshew, right?
Yes.
I stole Danny's line. That's what he said off the air.
Yes, I did say that.
This is a good line. But I like what you're thinking. Rebuild it up. Let's go. Now, a name not mentioned in there was Max Crosby. Mm. But, hey, it's just me. I know, I get it. He wants to be a Raider for life and everything. But I'm also trying to get Max to a winning franchise as well. I don't want to, don't ship him off to Siberia. But he's very important position and very good player.
Max could be one of those pieces traded coming up on the draft.
What do you mean?
For maybe like the 26 draft, you toss Crosby into a
talking about 25 or 26?
26. Toss Crosby into a trade and get a higher draft pick.
I mean, it's a couple years later though. Talking about
it's after next
about
season.
A 30-year, near 30-year-old pass rusher at that point.
Yeah, we'll have to see what he is.
Strike when the iron's hot, baby. Get them all in. The time is now. You could argue I'm being more pro Raider than anybody in the market because I want you to be good for a very long time. And if you buy my plan, 1-800-566-7200, you call that number, I'll sell you my plan for the low, low price of $5 million.
There you go.
How to rebuild your franchise. CC John Von Tobel.
So one of the cool things is with this text line, we can also see other radio stations here in our building.
Okay.
On Raider Nation text line, apparently once a Raider, always a Raider doesn't apply if you ask for a trade.
Once a Raider, always a Raider.
There are a couple people texting in saying that if Devontae Adams is truly asking for a trade, he's no longer a Raider.
Well, I don't know why you're saying truly. It's very clear that he's asking for a trade. There's, you don't need to qualify or anything like that. And like, no, he's asking for his way out.
So apparently that once a Raider, always a Raider comes with an asterisk.
I think everything comes with an asterisk.
Yeah, I also think that's a dumb slogan.
The Los Angeles Clippers famously took Blake Griffin into Staples and showed him up in the rafters his jersey. And they said, Clipper for life, buddy. You be here. You were signed with us. Everybody's going to remember you as a Los Angeles Clipper. We're going to stay. You're going to stay forever. You're going to retire as a Clipper. We're going to retire your jersey when everything's said and done. You stay here. A year and a half later, he got swept by the Milwaukee Bucks as a member of the Detroit Pistons. Everything has an asterisk.
Legitimate question, because I don't know the answer to this. Do the Lakers allow the Clippers to put jerseys in the rafters?
Doesn't
Did
matter.
Did they have any?
Before
the Intuit Dome, did they have any?
I don't know. I don't
know. Oh, okay.
Probably.
I wasn't sure if they retired any jerseys or not.
I can't remember. I don't really care about those things. So, yes, sure, let's say.
Okay.
I'm sure World Be Free's jersey was up there.
Okay. And now it got moved to the Intuit Dome.
That's right, baby. I'm so excited. I can't wait to pay exorbitant prices for a team that's not going to have its best player.
Did you see that supposedly California has a law that you cannot serve alcohol after 2 a.m.?
Okay.
For the Intuit Dome, they extended that to 4 a.m. for the VIPs.
Who's going to be there until 4 a.m.?
I don't know. But I saw a article yesterday about that.
Yeah, we got – so last year when UNLV played Kansas – or last December when UNLV played Kansas in Arizona, we went down. And I was shocked because we were out on the town. It was me, Steve Cofield, my colleague over at VSiN, Stormy Bonatoni, actually worked the sidelines, so she was there too. And, you know, game got out late, so we were just kind of wandering around. And they were kicking us out like 2 a.m., like threatening legal action out there in Arizona.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, hey, it's 2 a.m. It's illegal. It's like, you know, it's state law. Got to get out. It's like, wow, that's kind of shocking.
Yeah, especially for like an area that's known for parties.
Well, I don't know if you've ever been out there. You ever been to that area?
I've been once, like 10 years ago.
There's absolutely nothing by that Diamondback ballpark. Uh-huh. There's two little bars, and then you have to like go deeper into like some office area looking thing, and it's not a fun place to be. Now, San Diego, where later today we're going to watch the Padres take on the Atlanta Braves. That district right there?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. Cannot wait. But circling back and what we're talking about here with the Las Vegas Raiders, let me ask you this. Fascinating, I think, lost in all of this, is that they have a game this weekend.
They do.
Against an opponent which they have beaten 8 times.
Yep. On the road.
What do you think?
I think the Raiders will definitely win.
Definitely win.
Yes. Definitely win.
So and, you're betting it?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll take it.
Well, what do you mean maybe? You said definitely win. They're 2.5-point underdogs on the road.
Yep. Which I was actually kind of surprised about when I first saw the line. Because, I mean, Bo Nix hasn't – sure, he's gotten a couple wins under his belt, but he hasn't –
he looks awful.
Yeah. But as some people know on this station, I have become fond of Bo Nix.
Why?
Just for this show. Just for the show, not actually. Because Tyler hates Bo Nix, so I had to be positive Bo Nix.
He's terrible.
Meh.
Yes. You mean meh? I was going to say he averaged like 2 yards per pass attempt last week.
No, I know. I was only doing it because Tyler hates Bo Nix, I decided to be pro Bo Nix.
If you need any other evidence to the fact that quarterback wins is a stupid stat, look at last week for Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Well, and that was a lot of people's argument, too, with Mason Rudolph. He has a very good record. I believe he was 8-4 with the Steelers as a starter, and he just won on Monday. So now he's 9-4, because I believe he gets the win for that game, right? Because he played like 90% of it.
No, it's only if you start. Will Levis gets the win.
Will Levis, you don't deserve that. Go eat some mayonnaise.
Now, the flip side of my argument to, hey, go in the rebuild, go get the young quarterback, try your best to build this thing up, is you get stuck with Will Levis. Right? Like, Will Levis has not been good, and I understand that. There is a downside. It's not perfect that you're going and shopping for these young quarterbacks and trying to do something. I mean, you look at last year's draft class, you look at some of these other young players, doesn't really look great so far. But you do have the off chance that you land with a Jaden Daniels who looks absolutely tremendous.
He looks fantastic.
Early part of the year. He's played some very bad defenses, yes. So we'll see what that means. The one good defense he faced, because the Bucs statistically are not a good defense now, but that's because they have been beat to hell with injuries. That week one, they were fully healthy, and they made Jaden Daniels look like a rookie. So keep that in mind. But there is the downside, is that you don't hit on the quarterback position, but you're also building the other positions as you go along. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is going to be fascinating. Again, 702-364-1100. Text in. What do you want the Raiders to do here? Is this a crossroads? Should they be changing the way they want to build this team? We have a giveaway, right?
Yes, we do.
What do we got here?
So we have a pair of Iron Maiden tickets for this Saturday night.
All right, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. Caller number, I'm going to say 9. Iron Maiden tickets. You can get them now, 702-364-1100.
This has been Bischoff's Briefs, brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
Tip Hayes has it. Tips it to Asia. Count the bucket. And the Aces get the 2 anyway. 74-72. Timeout, New York. Aces got a little mojo.
Now, back to the Press Box on ESPN Las Vegas, featuring John Von Tobel.
Got a winner?
We do have a winner. Patrick,
congratulations. Enjoy the show this weekend. Absolutely tremendous.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm filling in. I'm John Von Tobel, by the way. Ed is off doing the paper stuff. We'll see. He comes in here with a sports section every day, huh? Does he get that like as part of work? Or do you think he like?
I don't think he pays for it. That's what you're asking.
No, but I'm saying like, you know, does he stop by work and like pick up a fresh assistant?
No,
and, like
no,
come in.
No, he would. That would be way out of his way.
Before we move on to a different topic, when it comes to the National Football League. Have you guys hit on the fallout from this Adrian Wojnarowski departing and retiring and what ESPN is deciding to do with its insider position?
No.
This is fascinating.
I briefly talked to Tyler about it Saturday at the game, but we haven't discussed it on the show.
Adam, so there's two options that ESPN is toying with. One is Jeff Passan, who I think does a brilliant job with baseball, would become their new NBA insider. Or Adam Schefter doesn't move to the NBA, becomes like a super insider, and does both the NBA and the NFL. Now, I think there's, again, I am not a connected journalist who does journalism, okay? Took a class, went to a Holiday Inn, all that kind of stuff. There's connections that have to be made.
Yes.
In order to do what Woj and Shams do.
Yeah, to build up that trust.
I don't think you just pass the Rolodex over and go, here you go, buddy. This agent is now going to reveal all of his time. I mean, maybe. Maybe that's how it works.
I mean, maybe with how well they are known
ESPN,
for what they do, I think there is already some sort of pre-built-in trust there. Like, hey, we can trust this guy with information.
We work with the logo, and he's Adam Schefter. Like, this will work, right? Or Passan, who's done it with Major League Baseball.
Like, their names are big enough. It's not one of us getting that job, but, and it's like, hey, we're here.
But we're talking about, Schefter is an insider, and you correct me if I'm wrong. My perception would be he does break news. He does not break news to the level that Woj does. Or maybe every Woj bomb and Shams report are such an event because the NBA is crazy. I'm perceiving those reports as bigger and more impactful than what Schefter does. But I don't, like, there's never a moment in time where, like, I have Schefter on alerts and I have Rappaport on alerts mostly for, like, injury stuff and everything like that. But there's never a stretch in an NFL season where I have them on alert and I'm constantly, hey, if I get a tweet from Schefter, I'm opening this thing up.
Right.
But there's multiple stretches in an NBA season. Free agency, the draft, where you have those guys on alerts because that news is coming. It's coming from them, and it's going to come before everybody else knows it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't view Schefter in that same light.
No.
So maybe I'm wrong.
No, I would say you're right on that because, I mean, that's kind of why we call them Woj bombs. We don't call them Schefter bombs. Because, I mean, and with NFL, I think we hear a lot more about trade rumors and things like that than we would NBA, right? Because a lot of that stuff is kind of done very quickly and behind closed doors, and then all of a sudden, boom, it blows up.
Like, look, let's take yesterday, for example, okay? I thought this was incredible. So our guy, Vinny Bonsignor, has the report in the morning as we're signing off here that, hey, the Raiders are becoming more open to trading Davante Adams, reaching out to teams. So I carried that information with me the rest of the day. But then, like, everybody starts freaking out when Rappaport, like, tweets out is, like, they're engaging in trade talks with other people. It's like, yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, and there were even some people who were like, well, we haven't heard it from the team or from Adams himself, so this can't be believable just yet.
But no, but my whole point, though, is that, like, the information that Adams and the trade was moving – came from a local reporter here.
Yes.
And we knew about it if you were paying attention.
Yeah.
The masses didn't really pay attention to Vinny's tweet or report until Rappaport had a very similar report later in the day.
Yes.
So my whole point is I generally don't have that phenomenon happen in the NBA, to tie this back to what we're talking about here, where, hey, big thing is happening, but nobody's paying attention, and then all of a sudden Woj gives it some light and everybody starts paying attention. No. Woj is the one that is at the epicenter of all that. Shams is the one that is at the epicenter of all that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And
so, like, I feel like, will that be the same if Schefter's the guy or if Passan's the guy? Because the other part of the report is that if it was Passan, who seems resident to do it, like, he doesn't want to do it, he would have to be, like, reared and tutored by Wojnarowski.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it.
I feel like it would almost be too much for them.
What's that?
To be the go-to person, breaking news person for two major sports.
The important part is Passan would not be both sports.
Oh, he would leave baseball?
Passan would go to NBA.
Okay.
Schefter is the one
he would
would do the both sports. He's actually described as being a closet NBA psychopath. Like, he really likes the NBA. In fact, he's done a couple of sidelines for ESPN on their broadcasts. I don't know if you've ever caught that. But he's done sidelines before in the past for some NBA games.
Okay.
So, like, he's got the basketball love background. Passan is reported as being just so deep in Major League Baseball that he would need to be trained, tutored, and whatnot. Tough part to do it right now. I mean, season starts in 3 weeks.
Yeah, why didn't Woj give a little bit more notice?
Well, I'm sure they knew. Like, what? Just because we found out doesn't mean that ESPN didn't know. I don't think ESPN found out the day that he tweeted out that he was going to St. Bonaventure. They were like, what?
Well, if that's the case, then shouldn't they have been grooming someone this whole time to take over?
Potentially. I think, and again, you don't know when the information happens, when it comes out. Just because, again, we're just learning about the potential plan between Passan and Schefter doesn't mean one of those plans has already been enacted and they're doing said thing. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think it's fascinating. It also leads to, I think, one of the more quizzical moves, which is, I thought that because Woj was gone, they were going to back up the truck and go get Shams. Then they cut Zach Lowe. And I was like, okay, well, that's, I think, the best pure analyst in any sport at any network. That doesn't really make that much sense. But he was making seven figures. Probably need the money for Shams. They're not hiring him. So what are they doing? Because their basketball coverage sucks. In terms of terms of analysis, their basketball coverage is abysmal.
Oh yeah,
Lowe's podcast was I'm assuming it'll get picked up somewhere. Is and was awesome in terms of what you got from X's and O's. Windhorst and his Hoop Collective with Bontemps and McMahon and whoever else they have are pretty good with the analysis as well. But in terms of X's and O's breakdown, they do pretty well with Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky, right, with the NFL. But on these NBA shows that they have, they got nothing. Their pre and their halftime shows are abysmal. They're awful.
Yeah, that's all anybody talked about during the NBA Finals. Right. And was it the conference finals
It's just all of them. Yes, because you split it up, right? Because they have the finals. Yeah. And then, of course, I don't know if – I can't remember. Do they have West or East? Whatever. But, no, they're their halftime pregame stuff, it's terrible. It's just one big ad. They talk for 10 seconds. It's all about legacy and nonsense. So I don't know what they're doing from a pure coverage standpoint, because Woj retires, you're cutting your best analyst, and then you're just passing the buck on to one of the guys internally, one of which needs to be trained.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is so deep in another sport that, I mean,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Passan. You're talking about Passan too here.
Well, I guess both from that standpoint, because especially with Schefter, if he does try to do both, I mean, he's NBA season starts in the middle of NFL season, and then the NBA playoffs are starting right around NFL draft and I believe OTAs, if my timeline is correct, and all that stuff. So he's going to try and be doing news for two major sports at the same time.
He's just sitting back in text messages. Right, where's my phone? It was right here. Hold on. All you're doing is you got multiple phones. You're just sitting there.
I've watched a show where he's picked up his phone before. He's had to step away, and then he comes back, and he's like, all right, so this is what happened.
I mean, you talk about maybe being insufferable at the dinner table now. You imagine if Schefter's actually running two leaks and getting news? He's got four phones on the table, buzzing all the time. Wife and kids are like, I can't take it anymore. Get out of the house.
Follow the guys on Twitter at Ed Graney and at @Bischoff_Tyler.
Neither one of them are in. Ed on his way to go cover the Raiders, so took the last hour off. Or maybe we're just trusting the fact that he went to go cover the Raiders.
Yeah, he might have just gone home.
What if he's just sitting at the Egg and I just chilling right now?
Ooh. Ed, bring us some food. We know you listen.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I could use some of that. A little pick me up, a little coffee. We do have some, this isn't really big breaking news, but you want it anyway?
Sure.
A team has emerged that has contacted the Las Vegas Raiders and has been discussing and is keeping an open line of communication with Las Vegas.
New York Jets.
No. Ooh. I said emerged. So that would mean that a new fighter has entered the ring.
A quiet one. Well, based on these betting odds I'm looking at in Ontario only, BetMGM, Commanders are third.
No. Give me the odds. What do you got?
Jets minus 150.
And these are to land Devontae Adams,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Jets minus 150, Saints 3-1, Commanders 5-1, and then Steelers 11-1.
Put a little sprinkle on the double digits. Steelers, according to Diana Rossini, interested in trading for Devontae Adams.
Okay. Get Justin Fields another piece.
Okay. So there's a couple of things.
Yes.
First off, amazing what you just said. Get Justin Fields another piece. Because it's not like I'm disagreeing with you. I just watched him run around against the Colts, and he rushed for like three different touchdowns, and whatever, he's looked very good. Especially he's looked better than what he looked his first few years as a Chicago Bear. But Tomlin has been notoriously non-committal.
It's one of the things that has angered me the most over the last 4 weeks.
He has refused to say that Justin Fields is his starting quarterback.
Yes. Every week we hear, well, Russell Wilson's calf isn't doing the greatest, so we're going to roll and act like we're going to plan for Fields to be our starter.
He was outright asked last week, why won't you just say he's the starting quarterback? Yeah. And his response was, because I don't have to.
Exactly. It has bothered me so much.
So, and his response in the same answer that I'm referring to was valid, which was, it is the NFL, things change, blah, 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 like whatever. But having said that, is Devontae Adams going to love being shipped off from a team where he had the six starting quarterbacks over the span of whatever to a team that this year, more than likely, I think it's a decent-sized favorite that Justin Fields is not going to start every single game this year?
I'd agree.
So you're going to go then to a spot where you're at least playing on a team that might have a better record, but is also going to have a musical chairs of sorts at quarterback between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson throughout the rest of the season. And yep. Both are at best average quarterbacks in this league right now?
Yes.
Maybe that's better than what he's gone through here.
Especially if there's a defense that can shut Fields' rushing down, then he's now one-dimensional, and rushing is a big part of his game. So I don't know. Plus, that's also a division that has really good defenses outside of what we've seen from Cincinnati.
Does it? Well, I just watched the Raiders run for like nearly 200 yards against those Browns 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Bengals got absolutely demolished. Mollywalked.
Right,
dog-walked by the Washington
Commanders.
I take it back.
The Ravens have good defense.
The Ravens? Really? Because I watched your team go like 9 plays, 75 yards, touchdown, recover an onside kick, go 11 plays, 85 yards, and score a touchdown in consecutive drives against them 2 weeks ago.
But how much of that was the Ravens sitting back because the game was, I won't say over, because obviously they made it pretty close.
It wasn't
comeback.
Over, Danny. They looked bad.
Looked good first half.
Yeah, first half.
Also, the Ravens looked good for the first three quarters against the Raiders.
Questions.
Yes.
Questions about everything. So the Steelers. 11-1, huh?
Yeah, according to this, 11-1. And then it has Cowboys, but I also saw another report that says Cowboys are out.
Take over the show. I got to text some people out in Ontario real quick.
And then the Ravens are at 18-1 and 49ers 18-1.
Yeah.
Pretty long. Would you go Steelers if you could?
I mean, of course, I would. It makes sense. They do need receiver depth and help. They are a team that is very good defensively. I don't think they're as good as many people made them out to be because they played a lot of bad offenses, but they're still very good. They're in a division that all of a sudden looks vulnerable, right? I mean, they're obviously at the top right now. Browns look pretty bad. Ravens got off to an 0-2 start. Bengals were 0-3 before they won this last weekend. So you're in position to strike while the iron's hot. And you do that maybe by adding Devontae Adams to the mix. The other part of the equation, as we have yet to get answered for it, and maybe we will when the trade finally goes down, is you go back to the report that Schefter had in terms of compensation. It was second-round pick and essentially something else.
Yes.
But what is the something else, what I'm asking? What are the Steelers willing to part with, be it a player, whatever? All right. That's the recent news. We have a couple minutes left. why in the world do you want to talk about the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I was just curious, based on what we've seen so far from Will Levis, he comes up with new fun ways to turn the ball over every week. And then we didn't see great play, but we saw him get a win in Mason Rudolph on Monday. Do you think it might be time to think about switching quarterbacks?
No,
or do you ride with Will Levis?
No, because Brian Callahan has already told us that they're not going to do that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Do you think he should be open to the thought of possibly switching?
Not really.
No?
Only because, like, what are you realistically doing as a team this year?
Yeah.
Why not just let him just ride it out and see what you have? Maybe there's a chance he starts to get it. I made this case the other day. The turnovers are becoming slightly less catastrophic, like, each time. So, like, for example,
he just threw an interception.
No, I know. Trust me. I know. But follow me down this path really quickly. So, like, week one, he throws just the ridiculous, like, flip toward the sideline, underhand pick six that nobody in their right mind would ever commit as a professional quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
Week two, he's parallel to the ground and tries to flip it to his running back. A boneheaded, catastrophic moment in which his coach asks him, what the bleep are you doing? Okay? It was bad. Week three, throws a pick six to Jaire Alexander and the Green Bay Packers, but it was just one of those where it's like, all right, you're staring down your receiver. That's a rookie move. You can't really do that. And then week four, it ultimately does not result in a touchdown, but you still threw a pretty bad interception. It was just a pretty bad read. So, like, they're becoming slightly less catastrophic. You know what I mean? Like, they're bad, but they're just becoming slightly less catastrophic. So maybe he's getting better.
I don't know. A defensive lineman caught it with his calves.
It's pretty bad. We say it all the time. That was the embodiment of what are you looking at?
Yes.
The guy was standing, and he's a fat guy.
Yeah.
And he was standing right in front of his receiver.
Like, Will Levis did not see his receiver because the defender was that wide.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Again, that was the epitome of what are you looking at? Because then they showed the end zone camera angle. And again, I was like, what did you see that made you pull the trigger on that one? There wasn't even like one of those, like, I can fit it into that window. Like, no, brother, you can't. That was absolutely insane. So I think maybe he's getting a little bit better. I wouldn't give up on the kid.